Good morning and a warm welcome to our Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service at 8 a.m. on Sunday the 10th of May. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, who, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that, as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so, by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The lesson is written in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the first verse.
The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendour of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendour of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Here endeth the lesson. The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 11th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him safe and sound. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even ever gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to thee, O Christ.
Let us together affirm our faith with the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please look at our church website for all our church family news.
I'm delighted to be joining you for your morning worship this morning. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will lead us to Jesus as we hear your written word talked about. That by your Spirit you inspire us and lead us to more fruitful lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a wonderful story, the story of the prodigal son. Perhaps it would be better called the prodigal or the story of the forgiving father. For although we hear a lot about the son who gets lost or chooses to go missing, one of those amazing parts of this story is the sight of that man hitching up his robes and running down the street as he sees his son coming towards him. This is a son who has deliberately insulted and turned his back on his father in asking for his share of the inheritance, probably a third of the farm, as the Deuteronomy gave two-thirds to an older son. But in asking for his third, he's pretty much saying, Father, I wish you were dead. I can do this far more better myself. I'm off and I want nothing more to do with you. And his father, instead of trying to force him to stop, force him to stay, sells the fields that are needed, gives him his money and lets him go. The father honours the freedom of his child, freedom to love and respond, freedom to go his own way. And so, as Jesus' wonderful story tells us, the son goes off and runs through his money, finally ends up working for a pig farmer, feeling hungry, wanting to eat the pig food. And then the most amazing, wonderful phrase, when he came to his senses. For Jesus, the natural position for a human being, the way in which we are fully ourselves, is to be in relationship with God, the God who lets us go off and do stupid things, lets us hurt ourselves and sadly hurt others by what we do, because he values us as free beings so much. But the Father, who as soon as we show any signs of turning towards him, is running along the road to greet us. So the young man comes to his senses. I know it's just a story, but it's one it's good for us to think our way into. Can you imagine what that young man was thinking and feeling as he was walking back towards his father? Clearly, he was already feeling some relief. He'd made a decision. He was confident in his father that even though he, the young man, had insulted him and demanded and turned his back on him, his father would give him some work. He knew his father well enough to know that he wouldn't turn him away if he went back, even though he now recognised that he had sold out his own right to be known as a son of his father by taking what was due to him after his father died. He himself had killed the relationship. Can you imagine him practicing that speech as he walks back towards his father? Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I know that I've forsaken that, but I know that you are a good man, and I'd rather be with you as a good man, as one of your slaves, the least of your slaves, than anywhere else without you. And he comes along, and before he can speak to his father has embraced him and called for a celebration. How does he feel now? Embraced by his father's love, his father's acceptance, his father saying, my son was lost and is found. His father is seeing that he is his son, not anything that the younger son is having to try and persuade his father. In fact, he'd given up on the idea, and yet his father freely offers him that relationship again. How does that feel? My guess is there'd be a mixture of guilt, but a whole heap of joy. Alongside that, I expect there's a deep desire to live a life that is worthy of such love. Yes, the love is freely given before he even opens his mouth. A love given just because his father loves him. But yet such love draws out a response. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen the musical Les Miserables. It's one of the pains of these days that we can't go to see musical theatre at the moment. Well, for me it is. I love the musicals. But if you want to, you can see it as a film. Not as good as seeing it on the stage, but still you can see it on the film. And because it's so widely known, I hope I'm not going to break too many spoilers by saying that the heart of the story is about a man called Jean Valjean, who has been put into the workships because he broke a window and stole some bread to feed his nephew. He was caught and sentenced to hard labour for 5 years. He then tries to run away while he's on the hard labour, and so he's sentenced to more hard labour. Eventually, the time comes for him to be set free, not to be told that he's now guiltless. He's given his parole, but it is parole. He goes off and finds it very difficult to find work, because people seeing that parole know he's a criminal and will have nothing to do with him. Eventually, he ends up outside the house of a bishop. The bishop takes him in, feeds him at the family table, or the household table, and then gives him a bed for the night. During the night, Valjean gets up and steals the silver and heads off. He's caught, and Javert, the local law officer, brings him back to the bishop. Javert tells the bishop that Valjean claims that he was given the cutlery. The bishop looks at Javert, the lawman, and says, "That's true. I gave it to him." And then also gives to Valjean his silver candlesticks. If you ever get a chance to read the book, there's so much more in the book. But it's amazing how the musical manages to capture all that in one song. Valjean goes off. He denounces his old name. He starts a new life. And in it, he becomes the wealthy factory owner. Again, the book tells us that it's actually making artificial jade. In the factory, he looks after, and he has many staff working for him. One day, there's a bit of a kerfuffle. One of his staff, Fantine, falls out with the overseer, and the overseer sends her away. A little later on, we see Fantine having come onto the streets, unable to earn her living in any other way. And Valjean, who is now the mayor of that town, sees her having had a falling out with one of the men on the streets, and she accuses him of having turned his back on her at her hour of need. And he's struck to the core. The reason he's struck to the core is because when the bishop had the opportunity to send him back to prison, he didn't. In fact, he gave him extra, but said, "See in this a higher purpose. Become an honest man." And so Valjean looks into himself and prays to God, the God who gave him a second chance, prays that he would be able to live out that second chance. The joy of being accepted naturally flows into a fruitfulness in living, a fruitfulness of love for others. Our gratitude to God spills out into a love for others. Our Old Testament reading puts this in picture language. The picture is of the desert receiving water. Last November, I had the privilege of having 17 days in Israel. I chose to go on my own and hired a car. And my first 3 days I spent down by the Dead Sea. Oh, yes, I did the bobbing around thing once. It was kind of slimy. But I also spent some time going to the Qumran Caves and going up to Masada, which was ever so hot, even though it was November. And after having been up at Masada and getting hot and sticky, I went down the road to one of the Israeli national parks. It's the one called En Gedi, and through it the Wadi and the River of David runs. And there are some wonderful waterfalls. I didn't have a lot of time there, but I had a chance to walk up to the David waterfall and to walk back. And as I walked back, I saw birds, rock hyrax. I saw the local goats. The water made such a difference. At Masada and Qumran, that area was completely desert, hardly any vegetation. But where the water flowed down out of the limestone, along forming a river, there was life, there was fruitfulness. So this picture from Isaiah 35 of rivers breaking forth in the desert, that's what it's about. It's not just about seeing some greenery, it's about the fruitfulness. And this passage, as you read it, just lifts our hearts. The joy of new possibilities and new life. So too for us then. As we accept God's blessing on our lives, as we sense his blessings come down like rain, flowing through us like the river, that's when we know the joy that God gives. But it's not a joy that's just about sitting and staying quiet by ourselves. It's a joy that has to spill out to other people. Just as Valjean in Les Miserables, albeit a fictional character, but a deeply Christian story, is inspired by someone else's goodness on behalf of God to then show goodness to other people. So too we are inspired. Inspired is to breathe in. We've breathed in God's goodness. And so it's only natural that as we live, that we breathe out God's goodness to others around us. To this week, remember the lost son coming home. Think about how he came to his senses. Think about the goodness of the world, the goodness of God in his giving of us to us freedom, but that sense that which the natural state of human beings, albeit one that's been corroded by us getting things wrong, the natural state when we're in our right minds, fully in our senses, is to come back to God. And coming back to God, yes, we might well have some sense of guilt for where we've gone wrong, where we've hurt God, where we've not done things right, where we've hurt other people. That's why we confess at every service, to get that out of the way, and then we can let well up within us the joy of knowing we are loved. You are loved by God so much. He won't force you to do things his way, but he is willing to breathe himself into you. The word for breath in Greek is pneuma. It's also the word for spirit. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your new life. So as you reflect on all that God is to you, pray for another fresh infilling, a breathing in, which we need to do each day, of the Holy Spirit, and pray that your life will become as fruitful as the desert when the waters flow, that those fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will be seen in your life. And that when others see you, they will somehow sense that joy, the joy of the freshness of the desert springing forth when the water flows through it. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who, in this transitory life, are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those people or situations that he has laid on our hearts. Father, may those in need know your healing and comforting presence alongside them. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee, because thou didst raise him gloriously from the dead. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was offered for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we pray together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death, until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us, preserve our bodies and souls into everlasting life. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And so we give glory to God. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee. We worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.